Hello, I'm Howard and welcome to the 93-20 Review Podcast, the show that thinks Jurgen Klopp needs a smaller mask as the one he has keeps slipping. We're looking back at a processional 2-0 win over Newcastle that sees City return to their second home for a 20th time under Pep. To do so, the main man is back. Good afternoon, Ehsan. How are you doing?
Afternoon, Howard. It was a fun weekend of football all round. I've got to be honest with you, I definitely enjoyed it.
Magic of the Cup, yeah. It's a good weekend all round for you then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a City win is always a big green check mark next to my weekend. But otherwise, it was pretty quiet, to be honest. Hmm. I watched some football, and otherwise, I was at home. There was no wild parties to be had this weekend. although on Friday night, I did find myself sat at a table with probably one of the scousest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. He was just uber scouse.
Oh, dear.
And a big Liverpool fan. But I was very well behaved and I was very magnanimous, because the alternative probably would have led to a mini riot. So,
do you mean uber scouse as in his football views rather than just accent?
Oh, both. Everything was dialed up to 11 out of 10. All the football chat was dialed up to 11 out of 10. All the hits, all the City cheats, 115 charges, bingo, empty seats, but just every box was ticked within 10 minutes of me sitting down.
And you didn't reply?
No. No.
You're the bigger man. You need to meet up with him tonight now then, don't you, sir? For a recap,
I'll be honest with you. I asked him for a favour this morning. Well, I asked him for a favour this morning, and he did it for me straight away. So, shout out to Uber Scouse.
Wow, fair enough. Right, well, let's talk football. We're looking at City, but then we're going to look at the other stuff as well. Because, as you say, cracking weekend, and can't even credit Barclays for the cracking weekend, can we?
No. So,
I know there were some league games, but I think they've passed me by. Oh yeah, Spurs were being Spursy, weren't they? So, yeah, no more stuff. Villa were being Villa. Everything worked for United basically for once, but hey, let's not worry about the league. FA Cup quarter final, you suddenly come around. Did you go into the game pretty relaxed and confident?
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle's record at City is pretty appalling, to put it mildly.
Should I say it then now?
Yeah, please.
Courtesy. It was Steve I saw mention it on Twitter this morning. Obviously, this is now post-match. Newcastle last won at City in I was going to say the Etihad, but then I saw the date. Last one in the league way back in 2000. Across all comps, they've lost the last 10 on the bounce, to an aggregate score of 33-3. They last scored at the Etihad 10 hours ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, it tells its own story there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess your confidence relies on knowing what Newcastle's going to turn up as well. So we'll come to that. But what about getting to Wembley? Is it devalued for you at all that the semis are held there?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know is the honest answer, because, you know, I'm always wary of, you know, stuff like, oh, X devalues Y or what. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, in the end, I don't think the semi-finals, when they're an all Northern affair, should be held at Wembley, because that's just a nonsense. Do I think it devalues the semi-final? No, I think Coventry City will probably be absolutely buzzing about the fact that they get to go to Wembley.
And Richard Keys, yeah. More on him later, of course. I say of course. Right, the team then, Ortega, no surprise. Walker, Diaz, Akanji, Gvardiol, Rodri, Kovacic, Foden, Philip, Bernardo, Doku, Haaland, pretty much what you'd expect there.
Yeah, very happy. Very happy.
Yeah.
I think wanted to see Kovacic in there. I think the KDB injury almost helps Pep to pick the team for the rest of the slots. I didn't want to see Alvarez. I had a feeling we'd see Alvarez.
Why so is that? No, joke.
Yeah, I think I've laboured that point on enough podcasts now. But perhaps. Yeah, no, I was buzzing with the team.
Yeah. No Stones, Ake, but obviously we've got a choice of six across that back four, and you know, you perm your four, don't you? Some will be rotated and rested before an international break, but of course it's not a break for the players, even if it is too friendly. So we can't sometimes you look at lineups before a break and go, well, it doesn't matter, City don't play for another 2 weeks, but of course the players will. And it's good that you get some key players rested and have got those options and not too many injuries. Good to see Jack Grealish back in training as well. Should be.
Definitely.
Has he been picked for the England squad? I don't know, actually. But
No, I don't think he has.
But he obviously, without any setbacks, will be fully fit for our next game against Arsenal. So.
I mean, we'll see, because he's actually had so long out that I don't know how you... And because he's had such a stop-start season as a whole, it'll be interesting to see how they handle getting him back up to match fitness. Arsenal is such a big game that he'd have to be firing in training, I think, to get the nod to start that game. But it wouldn't shock me if he did, simply because of the size of the game.
Yeah, but good to have him in the squad anyway. So, and fewer injuries, the better. I'm trying to think, who's out? Kevin De Bruyne's got the minor. Well, I hope he's minor. Again, fingers crossed, looking good at the moment, injury-wise. So, and Edison, Pep said, would be back after the international break. But with Ortega there, you know, it's not no great concerns either, is there, if he misses the odd game here and there, even if it's Arsenal. So, yeah, fingers crossed that we're pretty much close to a fit squad. Right, let's talk about that game then. The first half, I put quiet dominance, ? Did you enjoy it? An FA Cup quarter-final? That lineup, that shape, pretty much enjoyable for you?
Yeah, very much so. I think one of the things that I've desperately missed this season is what I consider just to be classic Guardiola City, and that is, you know, keep the ball, millions of passes, everybody technically very, very, very secure. And I think that's actually the root of what sometimes other people will look at and go, oh, this is boring, it's not fun to watch City. I love that version of City, because what that version of City is for me is it's a collection of players who just never give the ball away. And if everybody is as technically secure as they were on Saturday, it makes it a lot easier to control and dominate games. And I think, you know, the shape was interesting as well. It's not the first time I've seen it. I quite like it. It ends up being, you know, you end up with practically five players behind Haaland, because Walker and Guardiola are so high, and Doku and Bernardo are so narrow, and Foden, that you've kind of got five basically behind Erling. Again, it's a shape which has its pluses and its minuses. I think if you want to play it, then you can't have players who aren't technically secure on the ball. I thought Doku did... I mean, I guess we'll talk about individuals later, but he was my worry when the game kicked off. As soon as the shape became a little bit clearer, I was a bit worried about him playing so narrow and just how he'd acquit himself. But actually, I thought he was brilliant in the first half. I thought that his balance was excellent. I thought that his, you know, the way he'd wriggle out of two or three men with the football was great. Obviously, the final shot, the final cross will improve over time. But overall, it was just a really impressive opening and half.
Yeah, I agree. He's bright. Obviously, we know he's not his end product. You know, as a 21-year-old, needs improvement. There was one shot deflected towards end-ish of the half, I think. I was hoping it would go in so the third time I could put on the WhatsApp thread. I think that took a slight deflection. It would be nice to have three deflected goals in 1 hour. No one replied to it. I did it after the first goal because it was sort of. Then I did it on WhatsApp after the second goal. No one replied. I thought, please score another deflected goal so I could just keep the joke going. And of course, he had that burst that the keeper saved, I think. There was one where he could have put. He made the right choice, in fact. He ran, you know, towards their penalty area and tried to lay off to a runner. Don't know who it was, but it was intercepted. It was the right decision, just didn't quite get it right. I thought, you know, I had kind of argument on the message board, someone who's already got it in for him that night, I think. I thought he was pretty bright, if not perfect. But, yeah, I enjoyed his first half. Being central, something we're going to... More central, something... You think it's going to be more of a pattern for him in the future under Pep, or could it be anything, to be honest? Because, yeah, we all often thought we might play on the right a bit more as well, so we're not seeing much of that. But I guess, again, you've got another player who's flexible.
Yeah, I think he can do it. I think that you see from the game on Saturday that he's definitely got the skill set to play more central. And actually, oftentimes, I think that the big thing is... How much does a player want the ball? Like when we've got a lot of players who on paper are very versatile, can play in loads of different positions. But I think the test is always when you move a player or when you put a player in a position that we from the outside go, I wonder how often he's played there. Now, Doku's played that position at least once before for City, because I remember it quite clearly thinking, oh, wow, he's very central. But the thing that impressed me was him demanding the ball, wanting the ball, in tight spaces, and then kind of having the... Look, you got to try things. I think Doku is a player who we all would rather he was constantly trying things and failing rather than being safe. We got loads of players that can play sideways and backwards. You want a player with his skill set, you want him to be trying things.
And I enjoyed that first half, just the occasional bursts of players through midfield and towards their penalty area. Of course, Foden did one of his turns again, but unfortunately sliced it. I think he got a little nudge just as he was about to shoot, basically, for being kind to him. But I kind of, even though there was a lot of, you still get that passing a lot during the half, there was still, I enjoyed the general feel of that shape. But again... Yeah, Doku might not have been in a normal position, but we're talking about more the team was in its normal position, was it not? And Kovacic, we don't want to mention Alvarez during this podcast, but Kovacic was key to that, was he not?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, it's very clear. But I just think that shape, that collection of players, it works, and it works because it's something that everybody knows and everybody's comfortable with. And, you know, I think that one of the problems I found this season actually more than any other season, and I don't just mean this from a City point of view, I think just watching Premier League football in general, is it feels as though the idea of you're only as good as your opposition is more pronounced this season than it has been in any previous season. I think that when teams like Newcastle were dire, right? But that's not a criticism of City.
That's what I was going to say. Were they dire in themselves, or did City have the shape that meant they never got a look in, apart from one occasion?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. But I think one of the issues is that So, for example, right, as soon as he makes the changes and they start having a go, the game gets more entertaining because then City have to have a go, because then City have to up their intensity as well, and the game feels like a real contest. Whereas prior to that, because they're just playing dead, well, then City don't need to play at a really high tempo or a really... You know, I had a... Somebody tweeted at me after the game and said... Well, if we play with that tempo against Real Madrid, we're done.
Uh-oh.
And
I was here. I we was, go again.
I was just like,
well, you know, they'll walk on the pitch with a different,
totally. You can only beat what's in front of you.
This is game management again, isn't it? I mean, that second half was game management, wasn't it? They'll do what they have, what they need to do and not anything more, in a way, which ain't always exciting, but literally every game becomes more and more important now, so we'll see if we'll ramp it up. Yeah, but we know they walk out against Madrid with greater intensity than they do at home to Newcastle in the FA Cup. That's just absolutely blindingly obvious.
Absolutely. And I think actually one of the things that quietly we have done is we've managed to manage the whole season in terms of you can't be at your very best for every game of the season. And a lot of people have said regularly, we haven't been at our best at all this season. Yeah. And actually, I would turn that on its head and go, we're not that good this season. So we don't have a squad as good as last season. We don't have players as good as last season. And so, and we've had catastrophic injuries in the first half of the season. So when you put all of that together, expecting Manchester City of 2023-24 to play like we did in the run-in in 22-23, it's a misplaced kind of desire for something that we can't achieve that this season. All we can do is play at the level that we can play at. And I think that with the smallish nature of the squad, the kind of, even with the small squad, the players who find themselves on the very, very, very fringes, I just think it makes it harder to play at full tilt in every game. And I think that...
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our contents, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.